Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, very remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 16, 2021. Health officials in South Sudan say the country needs more supplies of COVID-19 vaccines.
And we do not have any more vaccine left. We have used all the vaccines that we have. All for South Sudan, no vaccine.
And the World Food Program suspends its operations in some parts of Warab State.
We do not wish to deprive the needy people of food, so we are at the moment assessing the conditions, and when they are right, we will conduct full operation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Ministry of Health in South Sudan says the country has run out of AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine doses. Dr. Atem Nathan coordinates COVID-19 vaccination at the Ministry of Health. He says there is a high demand for vaccine across the country. South Sudan received 132,000 doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine in March this year. Dr. Atem says the COVID-19 task force in the country expects to receive the next vaccine shipment at the end of August. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
South Sudan received 132,000 doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine in March. Dr. Tem Nathan Riak, the Director General for Primary Health Care, who is also the head of COVID-19 vaccinations at the Health Ministry, says out of the total number of doses, the government distributed 60,000 doses of the vaccine to 52 health facilities across the country. He says as of yesterday, there were only 2 vials remaining in the national vaccine store and 35 vials in the rest of the entire country. Dr. Riak says after assessing the consumption of the vaccines in other states, the ministry collected 10,180 doses from the areas including Torit in eastern Equatorial State that had a few people showing up for the vaccinations. He says 56,371 people were vaccinated as of yesterday. Out of a total of 59,630 doses, Dr. Riak says 5% of the vaccine went to waste. He says more people are interested in getting the jab now than there were before.
Until yesterday, we have in the whole country 37 vials were left. And so in terms of doses, 370. This was yesterday. But today, that amount should have been consumed because this morning they came for more vaccine and we do not have any more vaccine left. We have used all the vaccines that we have. All for South Sudan, no vaccine.
Dr. Riak says the health ministry has ordered an additional 60,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine, which are expected to arrive by late August.
There is a high demand for the vaccine. People want the vaccine now. First they were safety concerned, but now because many people have taken the vaccines, they have not shown any effects or so on. So the safety problem has improved. At least in the people's mind, and also because of the fear of the upside the neighboring countries, and so people now want the vaccine. There is less hesitancy in taking the vaccine now.
Vase Wilsmott, Chief Communications Officer at UNICEF, the agency that is coordinating the shipping of the vaccine to South Sudan, says he cannot confirm whether the country will receive other vaccines besides AstraZeneca. Wilsmott says it will be a while before the next batch of vaccines reach South Sudan, given the high demand worldwide for COVID vaccines.
The information that I have at this stage is that we should not expect them before late July, early August. Now, you need to be aware that this is all, that you know that, this is all happening within a context of a global approach. So things might evolve, but what I know is that the negotiations and what has been planned for South Sudan would be 60,000 doses for the second batch.
The first batch of the AstraZeneca was shipped to South Sudan through the support of the COVAX facility, a global partnership comprised of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, UNICEF, and other organizations established to ensure all countries can equitably access COVID-19 vaccines. Dr. Riak is urging donors to expedite the process of shipping the vaccine so that South Sudanese don't miss their doses. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Still on COVID, the World Health Organization has warned that COVID-19 is gaining ground in Africa, with death toll jumping 43% in the past week. World Health Organization says the continent recorded 1 million new cases in just 1 month, with several countries facing shortages of oxygen and beds for patients. For VOA News, Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
The World Health Organization, speaking during a virtual press briefing Thursday, Matshidiso Moeti, WHO Regional Director, said Africa is recording its highest number of COVID-19 cases since the virus hit the continent in early 2020.
Over the past month, Africa recorded an additional 1 million cases. This is the shortest time it's taken so far to add 1 million cases. Comparatively, it took around 3 months to move from 4 million to 5 million cases. This COVID-19 resurgence is the fastest the continent has seen.
The Global Health Agency says 12 African countries are experiencing an upward trend of coronavirus, including Algeria, Malawi, Senegal, and Zimbabwe. Moeti says the number of Africans losing lives to the virus is high.
As this surge sweeps across Africa, we're witnessing the brutal cost in lives lost. Deaths have climbed steeply for the past 5 weeks, jumping 40% in the past week. This is a clear warning. Our hospitals are at a breaking point. In all, 153,000 people have sadly died. Africa is now just 1% shy of the peak in fatalities reached in January.
The increase in deaths is partly blamed on the Delta coronavirus variant that medical experts say is the most transmittable of all the variants. It has been reported in 21 African countries. Namibia is one African country where the total number of COVID-19 positives is on the decline. However, more than 1,000 people have died there from COVID-19 in the last month. Ismail Kajitae is a physician at the Ministry of Health and Social Services in Namibia. He explains why the death toll is so high.
A high prevalence of comorbidities in some communities, limited capacity in some districts and regions to manage severe and critical cases, and strong misinformation lobby resulting in non-compliance to public health measures, underutilizing of available healthcare services, and delayed complicated presentations to our health facilities.
So far, only 18 million people out of the 1.3 billion living in Africa have been vaccinated. Some African countries blame the slow vaccination process on the shortage of vaccine doses in the global market. Catherine Choktunji is the head of the African Population and Health Research Center. She says African governments should ask their citizens to follow health protocols like washing hands and wearing masks to limit the spread of the virus.
Other than the usual measures, Africa doesn't have too many options without really having much of its population vaccinated. So the hope is that there's a lot of hope that in the next month, around August, many countries will receive at least substantial doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. But before then, really just keeping in place the usual measures.
Most African countries have eased health measures meant to combat the spread of the virus for economic reasons, and failure to follow those measures is blamed for the spread. Some African countries expect to get hundreds of thousands of vaccines in the coming weeks as the Aspen Pharmaceutical Company in South Africa begins producing 400 million vaccines. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
The Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, said on Thursday that investigations into the origin of COVID-19 pandemic in China were being hampered by the lack of raw data on the first day of the spread in China and urge China to be more transparent. Reuters' Clote Luke has more.
We are asking actually China to be transparent, open, and cooperate.
The head of the World Health Organization on Thursday said that investigations into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic in China were being hampered by the lack of raw data on the first days of spread there, and urged the country to be more transparent. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus also said there was a premature push to ignore the theory that the virus may have escaped from a Wuhan laboratory.
There was a premature push to, reduce one of the options, like the lab theory. As you know, I was a lab technician myself. I'm an immunologist, and I have worked in the lab. And lab accidents happen. It's common. I have seen it happening. And I myself had errors. So it can happen. And we need information, direct information, on what the situation of these labs was before and at the start of the pandemic.
A joint report in March by a WHO-led team that spent 4 weeks in and around Wuhan with Chinese researchers said that the virus had probably been transmitted from bats to humans through another animal. It said that the laboratory leak theory was extremely unlikely, but other countries, including the United States and some scientists, have not been satisfied with that conclusion. China has called the lab leak theory absurd and said repeatedly that politicizing the issue will hinder investigations.
I think we owe it to the millions who suffered and to the millions who died really to understand what happened. And I hope there will be better cooperation.
Tedros will brief the WHO's 194 member states on Friday regarding a proposed second phase of study to research the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, aid agencies suspend operations in some parts of Warab State. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
does your family often get together to celebrate holidays?
My family is low income earner. They don't have much for holidays because it requires a lot of money, maybe a lot of traveling.
It is occasional, actually. Maybe end of year or these other celebrations for different religions like Christmas, Eid. Those are some of the occasions we normally come together as a family.
For me, my family, well, they are not together. They are all scattered in different countries. So getting together is a bit difficult.
Family often get together to celebrate, not even on holidays, but ordinary days, especially on Sundays.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in South Sudan says the World Food Program has suspended operations in Tonch County following attacks on aid agencies by local young men in the area. The acting United Nations Humanitarian Coordinator for South Sudan says the attacks is part of a series of similar violence targeting aid agencies across parts of South Sudan. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Arafat Jamal, who also doubles as the UNHCR country director in South Sudan, says the suspension of World Food Program operations in Tony counties follows an outbreak of fighting in the area between local youth groups in Maria Low a week ago. Although the initial fighting did not target humanitarians, Jamal says the youth ended up looting a WFP warehouse which contained critical food items which were destined for people who are highly food insecure in the area. Jamal says it's not clear when the World Food Program will resume operations in the area.
We are assessing the situation, and what we always try to do in such incidents is to one, to ensure that we have safety for our workers, but two, we also do not wish to deprive the needy people of food. So we are at the moment assessing the conditions, and when they are ripe, we will conduct full operation.
According to UN OCHA, Tony North is one of the six South Sudanese counties where families risk facing catastrophic levels of hunger at the height of the lean season. The attack in Tony North is the latest in a series of incidents in which 8 agency facilities have been attacked or looted. Jamal says since the beginning of the year, more than 911 metric tons of food items and nutrition supplements have been looted or destroyed during violence carried out by locals.
These supplies, which are brought in through international assistance via the World Food Program, were enough to feed more than 41,000 food insecure people for up to 4 months. So that is essentially the impact, is that 41,000 needy, hungry people are deprived of food for 4 months through this type of attack.
The number of attacks against the 8 workers in South Sudan has been on the rise since March, according to the UN. Jamal says in May, more than $1 million worth of humanitarian supplies and assets were looted or destroyed during armed attacks in Gomorok of the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, interrupting the delivery of assistance to some 130,000 people. The attacks led to suspension of humanitarian activities and a relocation of 8 workers in the area. Late last week, Troika diplomats also expressed concern about violence carried out by local armed men, saying the attacks are costing South Sudanese their lives, displacing citizens, and are preventing farmers from cultivating their crops. The diplomats called for swift action from the government to put an end to the attacks. Jamal says the attacks on 8 agencies threatens their efforts to assist vulnerable people across the country.
We call upon the national and local authorities to strengthen law enforcement and to ensure the safety of communities and of humanitarian organizations. This trend of violence against humanitarians is unacceptable and it cannot continue. We must be able to reach the people who need it. I would also like to pass the message about impunity. We have seen time and again that humanitarians are attacked, and this is deplorable. But it is compounded by the fact when they are not brought to justice.
In a statement issued on Tuesday, the U.S. Embassy in South Sudan condemned the looting of U.S. government-funded food and nutrition items during intercommunal violence in Warab State. The U.S. Embassy says the area is already facing what it calls catastrophic levels of food insecurity, and it now has even less food assistance available, potentially leading to loss of life. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
We love to hear what you think about issues covered in our broadcast during the week. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with 2 weeks' listener comments. Nabil, what do you have?
Thanks, John. We have very interesting comments you sent us over the past 2 weeks about South Sudan's 10th independence anniversary, including this one from Mungu Idiba, who calls himself a concerned son of the soil. He writes, Malawians mark their 67th Independence Day on July 6th, celebrating the legacy of Dr. Hastings Banda and food security. On July 9th, South Sudanese mark their 10th Independence Day, celebrating food insecurity and volunteer services rendered by civil servants. God bless South Sudan. Hilary Dani from Kampala says, since South Sudan got independence, the citizens have not enjoyed a single peace dividend. It is the mandate of the government to provide security, and then the rest of the services will be guaranteed. Our government has failed us in all ways. Thok Chuniyok Kwai from Juba, South Sudan writes, happy 10th independence anniversary to all South Sudanese around the globe. This anniversary comes at a time when our country is in an economic quagmire, but we need to be happy because we have a place to call home. We must dearly remember those who sacrificed their precious lives for the liberation of this country from the yoke of colonizers, but we have other enemies that we need to fight hard to liberate ourselves, and these enemies are poverty, corruption, illiteracy, and tribalism. There are still obstacles to our total liberation. I wish all my compatriots a happy 10th Independence Anniversary, together for peaceful, united, and prosperous South Sudan. Daniel Mading Deng from Lake State says, I want South Sudan's 10th anniversary to be celebrated peacefully. Guns be silent. Thanks. Atem D.A. Dut from Bo writes, much thanks and appreciation goes to all VOA correspondents in South Sudan and abroad for keeping us updated. Happy 10th Independence Anniversary to all of them. We didn't celebrate Independence Day at Freedom Square like we used to do in the past. Each one of us were celebrating at his or her residence. James McWay from Rumbek says, the killing of aid workers in Lake State Rumbek is worsening as another person from CUAMM in Choibet got killed on 6 July 2021 on his way from Agangrial, which was his area of work, to the main hospital of Choibet by unidentified gunmen. Educated citizens of Rumbek have become the victims of firearms from armed youth. Why kill innocent people? Alain Lo Amu in Umbe Bidibidi Refugee Camp, Zone 1 in Uganda writes, hey John Tanza, thanks for your wonderful work of updating us with that which is going on in the rest of the world, especially in South Sudan, my country. My message to our leaders is let them be generous and equal for peaceful coexistence to resolve the conflicts and for our 10th anniversary to be meaningful. Thanks. Joel Philip in Bortown, Jonglei State says, hello VOA, happy Independence Day to South Sudanese people who celebrate the 10th anniversary of their independence, even though people are suffering much more instead of enjoying their independence from Sudan. Lomri Simon in Yei River County of Central Equatoria State writes, independence and freedom that the people of South Sudan fought for 21 years and voted for separation of leaders in South Sudan has changed into their children going to Kampala, Nairobi, US, UK, UAE for weekends and malaria treatment, while those who fought for independence are in refugee camps and in IDP camps and nobody cares for them. Mangwak Majong from Rumbek Lake State says, 10 years of independence of South Sudan has resulted in the same 10 years of frustration through instability, corruption, injustice, poor health, education and infrastructure. The leaders totally failed South Sudan. Mading Malual Alwong from Malakal Town writes, the men who liberated South Sudan proceeded to hijack the country's fledgling governing institution, embezzled its resources, and launched a war in 2013 that has cost hundreds of thousands of lives and displaced millions of people. Joel Amoret of Bor Jonglei State says, it is now a decade after our beloved nation got independence. It was on July 9, 2011, our country got independence. We celebrated our independence with joy and happiness. It was one of the happiest days I marked in history. He goes on to say, let's embrace a culture of love and disown a culture of hatred. Now, together we stand and divided we fall. Zindia Taban from Juba says, I am very happy to celebrate my Independence Day, but as I celebrated in fear. I am urging our government to bring total peace in this country so that we may enjoy our freedom. Thanks and God bless South Sudan. Our listener Manal from Khartoum says, hello Nabil, it is nice to listen to VOA South Sudan in Focus. Thank you all for the good job. Keep it up. Happy Independence Day. Thank you, Manal. Someone who did not leave a name writes, could you talk to your partner station Arua 188.7 FM to please play the program on time? It is sad that they always play it over 5 minutes late. Sometimes they cancel the program early. This is ridiculous. You may need to find out from them if they are tired of airing the program so that you change it to another station. Jacob Dior Machweng from Ural Lake State says, the continuous celebration of 10th Independence means a lot to me. It is a symbol of identity and a meaning of 21 years of conflict with the Khartoum government. Although we had gone through two senseless wars that have divided the citizens and lost hope, I'm still optimistic that all these things will come to pass and the nation remains for us all. Mal Adao Mal in Bortown writes, it is now 10 years down the road since independence of South Sudan, but nothing much materialized. We have independent land, but not an independent state in actual sense. Isaac Tang of Bantu Town writes, I would like to take this opportunity to comment on the issue of positive steps taken by our leaders when they realize that all South Sudanese are suffering beyond description, but more needs to be done about communal conflicts. Mate Martin Lawrence from WOW South Sudan says, Let me acknowledge and appreciate the good work that the Voice of America does as a world news agency for feeding the world with reliable news, covering politics, economics, health, education, and culture. And finally, Mabor Alatrengo from Rumbek Lake State says, It is very unfortunate that youth of the Luanjang community launched an attack at Marialo Payam and looted everything, including the church property and hospital drugs. I strongly condemn these barbaric acts. The Ton East Commissioner should be held accountable for failing to control his community that led to this tragic destruction. The opinions expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. Thank you very much for sending us your comments. We appreciate it. Keep them coming.
Thanks for following Issues in Our News. Let us know what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with the song Labi Amaro by Mede Musica.
Labi Amaro, Nimikata Amaro Mororo, Olena Marie. Von Andrenandero Cecilia
La mia amaro di mi piace amaro
Atane Morosi
Volena Maria somoro nie bona ondene
Diso ine dese
Oso ti ama besi na mororo
nie Le mengo
Atane tene oso ngawi Ka ketia puro nie boe
mane Mondo lo bina toro fashe Azifu azifu
Kuni Kakachina
Rube,
Uni
Kakachina
Rube, Lukuya
Ninga
Daniel
Paro Jadobe
Medi Musugu Maria Tirusi Oso Eto Bayaronye
Tederu
Anjo Kotuninga Perise Lucas of Bemururi De Menga Mapi Primolo Paro Bayaru Bemuri
Kete Paro
Lupa Muruto Mundriasi
Wait
Luindi Bamudobe Dicola Kamadindieri Kedi balanyende mavolo singo wandi parita pari
Jambo amati agu kotobi
Abanda naru nga kidine Ongu osane agu abana marayasi Iza juaru obane Agu pati biafune
We have been listening to Mede Musica with the song Labi Amaro. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Is that you are a bay?
Is that you are a bay?
Amadla, the Banerasi, 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 the Banerasi,
Nazara Andro
Ale tezo mune muriyoko Ando kote keiyo lone Aku ichi ogane
Ogone kolomasi Andro
Ale zomo tepe yoko Abene lungu na dugu kilisi Aku andu na yana dugu zesi
Embe na keigo Icha dicha chasi.